You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of the PGA Championship, the season's second major. Dave Callum and Dave Tindall with you on this edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast to run through the leading contenders and give you our best bets for the week as well. First of all, a warm welcome, a good morning to Dave Tindall, who joins me over Skype today to preview the PGA Championship at Kiawah Island. Big week coming up, Dave. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm on Zoom actually, so hopefully you're not going to riddle this podcast with errors like that.
No, hopefully the tips can prove to be a bit more informative than my understanding of different recording mediums, yeah. Dave.
Just a nervous opener, you'll settle in.
Kiawah Island, let's talk about the golf course to start off with. Officially the longest course ever used for a major championship, measuring in at 7,876 yards, a Pete Dye design, which hosted the 1991 Ryder Cup. But most people will be focusing on the 2012 PGA Championship as a form pointer for this week, analysing that leaderboard to determine course fit for this week. Rory McIlroy won it back in 2012 by 8 shots. I think the most intriguing part of this championship is trying to work out what type of player is going to be suited by this test. The perception is that you need to be a bomber to challenge this layout given its length, but the reality is that behind Rory McIlroy in that PGA Championship in 2012 was a whole host of players that you wouldn't necessarily suggest are long off the tee. What's your reading of that situation with regards to looking at 2012 as a form pointer for this week?
Yeah, well, it's all we've got, basically, so we can't be sort of choosy. But, yeah, back then it was the longest course ever used. I think it was 7,676 yards back then, which if you'd approached it with the idea that rules out, you know, 80% of the field, you would have come a bit of a cropper. Okay, you would have done okay on Rory, but you wouldn't have found your way to quite a lot of them. David Lynn, Carl Pettersson, Jamie Donaldson. There's loads of players that you would have thought, well, I'm immediately ruling them out. I remember once going to the USPGA in 2001 that was about 7,500 yards, and that was considered maybe the longest at the time. And David Toms won, and David Toms was far too short to possibly win, and yet he won. Mm. And yet other factors would have pointed towards him because, you know, he'd been quite a regular winner leading up to that. So I think getting a bit freaked out by the distance is a mistake, because that distance is from the very tips, isn't it? You're going to see that, you know, tees moved up. So I wouldn't get too obsessed with distance this week.
I kind of agree with you as well. I think that there are other factors that will come into play this week, like the wind. We saw that in 2012. It played so hard in the second round there, the Friday, where the wind really blew. I think the field averaged over 78 on that round, which was pretty much 5 shots worse than any other round in the championship. It is one thing to keep an eye on this week, the wind, because you can have crosswinds around Kiawah Island. Having looked at the advanced weather forecast, it doesn't appear that the wind is going to be as much of a factor this week as it was back in 2012, Dave.
No, I've had a look just before we came on again, and it's kind of like 12 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, maybe tops. But obviously that can change. We're recording this on Tuesday morning, UK time. So it's almost impossible to have no wind there. But as it stands, it doesn't seem to be too alarming.
And you'll hear a lot of people saying this is a links-like test, a links-style test. You'll hear that throughout the week. But is it being by the coast a misnomer for suggesting it's comparable to a traditional links? Because McIlroy probably said it best when he talked about a number of the greens being raised here and how this course has to be played through the air because of the Paspalham turf, the agronomy this week. The fairways don't really run, and that makes it the antithesis to a links course in many ways, Dave. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, I've just written a hole-by-hole guide, actually, just sort of gone through it to see how Rory played it in 2012. And when I was going through writing each hole, I kept writing to an elevated green. So yeah. Obviously that's different. There's a few ways you could maybe feed it in, but yeah, generally it's a different sort of, as you say, topography to an open championship. But although I did read that, and having been at Port Rush, I thought some of that was too elevated greens as well. So, you know, it's not, it doesn't rule out all links to links, as it were.
Let me spin you through the betting here with William Hill. And here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market. And we are paying at 9 places each way for the PGA Championship as well. There's a full range of markets available at williamhill.com and on the app. Rory McIlroy is the 11-1 favourite for the US PGA Championship. John Rahm is 14-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 16-1. Justin Thomas, 16-1. Jordan Spieth, 16-1. Dustin Johnson is 18. Xander Schauffele and Victor Hovland, both 22s. Colin Morikawa and Daniel Berger, both 30s. Brooks Koepka is 33s. Patrick Reed is 33-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 33-1, and it's 35-1 and bigger the remainder. What's the one factor you've focused on most this week, just before we get to the picks, Dave?
I would say to keep it maybe sort of general is just to look at records in majors and maybe a bit more emphasis on those played by the coast, because I think this is different to a very warm inland test. So as a very broad brush, players who've maybe won this season who perform well in majors and particularly in majors by the coast.
Three picks for me this week, Dave?
Yeah, and me, yes.
Okay, shall I lead off this week?
Yeah, will we overlap? Everyone's asking. Well, yeah, no one's asking that, really.
That's the question on everyone's lips, I think, Dave. Yeah. Dustin Johnson is
thought you might, yes.
Yeah, 18-1, which I think is a very fair price this week about Dustin Johnson. He's the one for me at the top of the betting. He won on Paspalham Greens at the Saudi International. I know that was a weak field early on in the year, but it's another tick in a box, I think, for DJ. One of the best course comparisons for this week surely has to be Whistling Straits, you would imagine, which is a long Pete Dye design that hosted the PGA Championship in 2010 and 2015. We all know about that infamous moment in 2010, late in that championship where DJ grounded his club. He should have won. And
we do. I was on him at 50s that year, so I remember that one.
Yeah. Thankfully, this week, it's all waste area, isn't it? Or it's noted as waste area, so you can ground your club without a penalty this week at Kiawah Island. But he finished tied seventh in 2015 as well, and his return to Whistling Straits. I'm not overly concerned about the knee problem. I think that's why you're getting the price on Dustin Johnson this week. I'm a cynical man anyway, Dave, but I think I just suggest he didn't want to play last week. And we've seen those, something I mentioned last week, we've had many high-profile withdrawals from tournaments where players just didn't want to turn up, and that's what I think it was with Dustin Johnson. His form has cooled slightly, but that means his price has drifted to a really attractive one. He's got an incredibly good record on Pete Dye Designs in general. In fact, in this field, in strokes gained total on Dye Designs in measured rounds, he ranks second in the field alongside Rory McIlroy and behind just one player. Dave, do you want to guess who that number one player is on Pete Dye Designs in measured rounds?
So what's your study period there?
Study period is since strokes gained became a thing. So was that back in 2015, I think?
Okay. Well, I've got another list. I found a list that the golf betting system guys had done.
Okay.
Steve and Paul. They've got Dustin Johnson top ahead of Adam Scott and DeChambeau.
I've got Jason Day top in the list that
Jason
I used.
Jason Day, fourth. Their study period is 2016 to 2021.
Okay, so maybe this one goes back a little bit. I've used Fantasy National, but yeah, it's going to be very similar. He's been actually at Kiawah Island since Saturday, Dustin Johnson, something that has been leaked on social media, obviously. And if the knee was that much of an issue, would he be there preparing and practicing so far in advance? And I think the answer to that would be no. And I think Dustin Johnson now, with all this, the Saudi Golf League stuff, I think he only cares about major championships, really, DJ. And I thought 18 to 1 was a fine price about Dustin Johnson this week, Dave. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I mean, when you asked me before what you're looking for, I said as a really general brushstroke, good at majors by the coast. Well, you know, DJ, as you pointed out, probably should have won at Pebble. You pointed out at Kiawah Island, he's runner-up at St. George's, this year's open venue.
Yeah.
He's got loads of good form by the coast, hasn't he? Won at Kapalua. So, yeah, I'm sort of glad you've picked him because he's very close on my list given the way his price has drifted in the last maybe couple of weeks. I mean, I've seen a couple of people make the comparison. We've got him 18s, Victor Hovland 22s, but in some places they're both 20s. How can that be?
Yeah, I think Victor Hovland's he's the punter's choice this week, isn't it, Dave?
Yes.
And you can understand why, because both his wins have come on past Farlham Greens by the coast so far. But in terms of major pedigree and backing a player at this sort of price, it's got to be Dustin Johnson over Victor Hovland for me, even though I do really respect Victor Hovland's chance this week. Dustin Johnson, the number one pick for me.
I remember last year, I think he'd played some knockabout event at Seminole, I think, and had been appalling. And then he won, I think, the Travellers quite soon after that.
At a similar price, I think, actually, as well.
Well, I think it was 28, but it was some crazy prices a couple of times last year. We've seen a few times, haven't we, class players who you slightly found very recent reasons to write them off, and then they've gone in and won recently. So, yeah, good. 18s, I like that.
Your first pick?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah.
For, again, the overall reasons I've said. He's made a really good start to his majors career. Well, he did, and then he's had some funny years. But basically, 2016, he was fifth in the Open and tied 10th in this event. Then he was tied fifth in this event the next year. We've also seen him finish tied sixth in a US Open, and that US Open was at Shinnecock, you know, by the coast, windy. Then he was tied sixth at Royal Portrush. I mentioned there, had a few elevated greens. So lots of good form by the coast in majors. We've obviously seen him win the Alfred Dunhill Championship by the coast at St Andrews and Kings Barnes and what's the other one? Carnoustie. So very, very good pedigree for that. He kind of fits the mould, doesn't he, as a USPGA winner. They all seem to be won by guys in their 20s, or that's a very common theme, 9 out of 11. He did win in Abu Dhabi earlier this year. There's a few people who have said to me, well, his form's not that good, but you know, only a couple of starts ago, he was tied 18th at Augusta. And you remember at Augusta, his play was abysmal before
that.
Yeah. You know, two missed cuts, 56, 44th. He just had no idea. So he was 18th in that. Even though he wasn't great at the week after at Hilton Head, he still shot 66s in rounds 2 and 4. And then he was tied 8th in that Zurich Classic Pairs thing. So that's hardly poor form, is it? So I think Hatton is just way overpriced for, you know, he's world number 9. I think for some reason he's got forgotten, and I think this PGA venue, it, you know, makes it more likely he would win than if it was going somewhere maybe more Americanized. And you look back to 2012, you've got 5 British players in the top 7. I mean, that's pretty unusual. There's something in that. I don't think that's just random, because, you know, there were lots and lots of great American players around at the time. So 45 to 1, Tyrrell Hatton. I just think that's too big for how good he is and how often he can win.
Nice. I like it. Tyrrell Hatton at 45 to 1, your second selection. I'm going slightly bigger in the market for my second pick. I don't know if I've ever tipped this this gentleman. Louis Oosthuizen is my second selection at 60 to 1 this week. And
the key with tipping Oosthuizen is you've got to tip him in a week where you don't think he'll do anything.
Yeah, that's
been quite successful with that. Almost. And I think he's going to play well. He absolutely flops.
I don't know about you, but this has, I think, more of a US Open feel to me than a PGA Championship this week. And maybe it won't pan out like that, but that's my gut feeling anyway.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite difficult. And that, in my mind, brings Louis Oosthuizen into play. We all know the negatives about Oosthuizen, given that throughout his career, he's yet to win on American soil, which is incredible, given his swing.
And then pull out with a bad neck on the eve of the tournament.
Yeah. He's not done that for a while, has he, Oosthuizen? He is a major champion, and he's shown some of his best form in US Open on long courses. That's the one thing that catches my eye, the most recent one being the US Open at Erin Hills a few years ago, where he was second behind Jordan Spieth. That was in 2015. By the way, Dustin Johnson was tied for second with him there in that championship as well. But he's only missed one cut in his last 15 major championship appearances. So he usually turns up for the biggest weeks. And as for his recent form, I know he plonked it in the water in that playoff with the resurgent Charles Schwartzel in that team's event in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, but he still finished second there. And then he finished eighth at the Valspar Championship, where he was absolutely flushing his irons. And he's got more confidence with the putter than I think he's arguably had at any other time in his career. And I do think he can at least run into the place as Louis Oosthuizen this week. So I thought 60-1, he was worth a few quid each way.
Yeah, I think if his chance is screamingly obvious, say he'd finished fourth here before somehow, or had finished second last week, it'd be 40s, and you'd think, oh, some good pointers there, and then it'd be terrible. But if it's a bit more kind of, you know, you've got to dig for it a little bit more, then I think he is a good bet. At that price, I certainly think he can just mix it with them at that sort of price. And I think I did quite well on him in a recent major, I think, at that sort of price. Mm. That's the key. I think you've just got to wait for a decent price and with a slightly, you know, off, not too offbeat, but avoiding the obvious angle on him. But yeah, he's certainly fits the bill, doesn't he?
Yeah, I like him this week at 60-1 each way, given we are getting 9 places as well. I'll take the South African as my second selection. Your second pick?
Yeah, I'm staying on the English theme again. I'm going for Tommy Fleetwood at 50s.
Yeah, can see that.
Again, I think looking at some of the kind of players who are 33s, 35s, I just think a good week very recently, and Fleetwood would be in that bunch, but he's 50s. And again, I'm harking back to the fact that he's got some great results in majors on kind of linksy courses, well, on links courses. Obviously grew up at Southport, playing there. So that's his background, links golf. We've seen finish runner up to Brooks Koepka at Shinnecock Hills, where he closed with a brilliant 63. Hatton was 6th in that major, by the way. And then at Portrush, obviously, again, I've made that link. Hatton played well there. Fleetwood was the one who chased Shane Lowry home. No one was going to beat Shane Lowry that week, but Fleetwood put up another excellent performance, and he was always handy, wasn't he? He was always in the top three all week. So he's proven he can handle links conditions and the windy weather. It's just whether you think his current form's good enough. But again, I think it's kind of a little bit under the radar, but not too bad, because he made the quarterfinals of the match play at Austin Country Club, which is another Pete Dye. Even, you know, you look at the miscut at Hilton Head and you think, oh, what's going on there? But he shot a second round 65. I mean, it was just, he had a terrible first day. At Quail Hollow as well, made the top 15 last time. Then he's been able to nip back to back home. I think that's given him a bit of a boost. So all little things like that start to add up. On I don't know where, if you've got that Pete Dye chart up, but I've got him 6th on the Pete Dye Game list.
Yeah.
So again, he seems to be a good fit for that. He's got two really good finishes at Sawgrass, 5th and 7th. And then I just think that there's others in focus. I think he's got he's a bit under the radar this week. And 50-1 on this course, if you're liking it to a US Open test, well, he's got brilliant US Open form, Tommy Fleetwood. So I just think it's bigger than you would normally expect, and yet the course suits him more than we would normally expect as well.
I like it. Tommy Fleetwood, Dave's second selection. I'm going to continue with the English theme then, Dave, for my third pick here. I like Matt Wallace at 80-1 this week. He's always been a confidence player, Matt Wallace, and he's probably in the form of his career right now with that third at the Texas Open, followed by a respectable 34th at the Masters, then 18th at the Heritage, then 6th at the Wells Fargo. And what I like is every facet of his game is in sync at the moment, and that's been reflected by those results. His short game is outstanding. So if it does end up, like many are saying, that creativity is going to be required at this place, Wallace is going to be able to showcase that aspect of his game. I think he's going to play very well this week once again and just continue riding the hot hand, really. And 80-1, Matt Wallace is my third and final selection.
Yeah, I like Matt Wallace. I probably wanted three figures, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
But for all those things you say, which is good. My third and final pick, I'm going to move back towards the front end and go with Xander Schauffele.
Are you now?
I'm
surprised at that. We've always said on this, or many times we've agreed on this podcast, that it's too short, but you think there's some juice in that at 22s?
I do, because I think when we said he's too short, he's been like really short, like 16s and 14s even, and that. But 22s, I mean, if you're just going on the numbers, William Hill, we're 9 places this week. If you just go on his major championship performances, he's played 15. He's got 8 top 10s. Seven of those were top 6s. So if you just reduce it to that, then I think each way, you know, that's a great each way bet, but basically a 50% strike rate of landing in the top 10 or top 9, top 6 even. But again, where has he played well in some of those majors? Well, he's got a runner-up in the Open Championship at Carnoustie. The last two US Opens by the coast, which were Shinnecock and Pebble Beach, top 6. He was 6 at Shinnecock, 3rd at Pebble Beach. We've just seen him go close again at Augusta National. He fits the profile, doesn't he? Because he's an American in his 20s. Americans have, although I'm liking English players, but Americans have done really well in the USPGA, the last 4 being won by Americans. But it's maybe in the 20s that's maybe the telling aspect. 9 of the last 11 USPGA winners were in their 20s. So he's ticking that box. He's a runner-up at Sawgrass on another Pete Dye track. I thought he could be thrown in at 16s, 18s. So 22s, it's all perception, isn't it? But to me, that was, it started to maybe, I thought maybe 20s would be, so just to get a little bit higher than 20s, to me is good.
Okay, 22-1, Xander Schauffele, Dave's final selection here. So we've got 6 picks, all different in the outright market. So hopefully we can land on at least a couple of places, maybe even a winner this week. Just before we talk about the supporting markets, we're going to spin through some of the supporting markets, and we've put together a Your Odds Between Us as well. Don't forget, if you want to get involved with Your Odds, you can do. Just tweet using the hashtag Your Odds to @WilliamHill, and the traders will price your bet up, whatever combination you fancy, whether it's a top player market or you're looking at the top 5, top 10, top 20. You can combine a number of different players together and create a hashtag Your Odds. Just tweet @WilliamHill with the hashtag Your Odds, and the traders will price your bet up. Let's talk about the top end of the market. Rory McIlroy 11-1. Just a bit skinny for me, given I can understand why people will gravitate towards McIlroy, because he won by 8 shots. It was last at Kiawah Island, the PGA Championship, and he won at the Wells Fargo. But Quail Hollow is a course that he's dominated throughout his career, and he did a lot of damage with the putter as well. And if he didn't have that result at Quail Hollow, he'd be double the price this week, McIlroy.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you're on him at a bigger price, then, you know, nice work. But to go in cold at 11s isn't my idea of a good bet at all.
John Rahm, 14-1. I still think he's maybe having in that transitional period with the new club deal, John Rahm. He's not playing his best golf at the moment, 14s.
No, new club deal, new baby. I just think he's got a few sort of distractions or things that maybe just not getting him fully focused. And whereas he couldn't fail to finish in the top 10 for months, now he's gone off the boil a little bit. So I think it's a shame because I think this course could suit him, but I think he's not quite there. Can you hear my car alarm going off?
Only in the background, Dave. Right.
Hopefully that's not my car being stolen.
No, let's hope not. That would be a bad start to PGA Championship week. Bryson DeChambeau, maybe a reservation with the with how the putter performed last week at the Byron Nelson, but was strong off the tee. Again, approach play has not been at its best since the Players, really.
Yeah, in my trends piece I did, he came out top, but I kind of wish it was maybe not by the coast for this one. I know it's not going to be super windy, but if you go on YouTube, you can see him at an Open Championship going absolutely potty and, you know, losing his mind over the fact that he can't control his kind of malfunctioning in the wind and he can't work it out. So I don't know. It's kind of, if you marry up his length and how long this course is, and you can arrive at, oh, well, this will be perfect for him, but I'm just not sure that it will be.
No, I agree with you. And it's interesting you talk about the wind because whereas many players will recalibrate on the hop, won't they? Bryson DeChambeau is such a deep thinker about the game, I suppose, that it's going to maybe affect him more than it will affect, say, a Dustin Johnson or even a Justin Thomas, who are more field players, perhaps.
Yeah, I heard most of that. I was just checking. It's the car next to me that's being burgled. It's a far better car than mine, so who can blame them?
What do you rate to Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, both 16-1 in the market?
Again, with Thomas, I think I'd prefer it not by the coast. I still think that's not his best territory.
Putter's got to be a concern for Thomas as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, apart from that brilliant performance at Sawgrass, he's not been too great, has he, of late? Mm. Spieth's interesting. I mean, this is Spieth going for the Grand Slam, isn't it? Which doesn't seem to be the main storyline for some reason. But
I think given what like McIlroy did at Wells Fargo and the fact that he was a wide margin winner at Kiawe Island back in 2012. That's the main storyline this week, isn't it? But
yeah,
I think so. Jordan Spieth going for the Grand Slam sort of comes in just behind that.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's won an Open. He did well at Chambers Bay, didn't he? I wouldn't know. It's probably just the price that puts me off ultimately on Spieth. But it's not, you know, 60, not that bad, I suppose, but I don't know. I've got a sneaky feeling for him later in the year, but maybe not here.
Okay. Who else do you want to mention here, Dave?
You've mentioned Hovland, haven't you?
Yeah.
I guess if he was 35s, you'd be on him, I guess, but not 22s. Is that how I would read it?
Yeah, I think so. I want to mention a couple of names just slightly bigger in the market just before we come on to the hashtag your odds and the supporting market bets. I want to mention Will Zalatoris. To mention Will Zalatoris because I think he's got a big chance this week. He's a 50-1. His iron play was electric last week. He picked up the most strokes gained on approach than he's done throughout his career. So even though he finished, and he got better as the week wore on as well. Another top 20, not played in many major championships, but already finished tied sixth at the US Open. Second in a Masters. The short game and the putting is a small concern, but I think the tougher the better for Zalatoris, and I can see him contending again this week.
Yeah, I think 50s is fair. If you're a Zalatoris fan, I think you've got a price there you can work with. I always think Patrick Reed's underrated at 33s.
Yeah.
I mean, he finished 10th at Old Portrush, is in good form, has won a major. Should be shorter, really. I think if you were looking for maybe just a top 10 bet, Tony Finau, this is an ideal course for him, I think. Mm.
He's a bit he's gone a bit off the boil, hasn't he, though, Finau?
He has to some extent, but then he was 10th at the Masters.
That's true.
I think he's a bit of a different beast in majors. So don't back him at short odds in average events, but back him at bigger odds in majors is kind of the way to go with him. Sam Burns, what do you think of Sam Burns this week?
I think he's short, isn't he, in the market at 40-1. I mean, he's having a purple patch at the moment, but that looks like one of the prices. That for me, that one stuck out like a sore thumb as being way too short.
Yeah, I think Hovland and Burns carry the far too short banner, don't they? Sort of award this week.
Yeah, I think so. The other man I want to mention just before we move on is Joaquin Niemann at 60-1 as well. You've talked about, if it so happens to be windy, his low ball fight's going to come into play. And you talked about form by the coast. I mean, his two best finishers this season came at Kapalua and the Sony Open, both out in Hawaii. You've got to worry about his around the green play because he's not the best chipper in the world. I thought Niemann could go well at 60s.
Yeah, I mean, Rory was like first in driving distance when he won, but he was also first in scrambling when he won here in 2012. So if you look at the greens, you do need to do some good work around them to succeed. That would be a concern.
Yeah, and that is one of the big concerns with Zalatoris for me as well, because he's yet to prove that his short game is, well, matches the rest of his game, I suppose, Dave.
Yeah, what about Berger?
Well, he's in my hashtag your odds, so that leads us on nicely to that. we've got a combined hashtag your odds, which is at the top of the list. You'll find it online at williamhill.com and on the app. I'm putting in Daniel Berger to finish in the top 10. I think he's primed for a top finish this week. He's got that profile that fits with the PGA Championship in recent years, a player that is playing superbly, looking for his first major. Tee to green play outstanding last week en route to a third place finish at the Byron Nelson. And he's won on the coast at Pebble Beach already this year. It's a long course, but as you've made mention of, I think the PGA will mess with the yardage throughout the week. And he's got a very good record on Pete Dye Designs, has two top 15s in his last three PGA championships. And I think he's going to have a big run this week. So I've put him in as a top 10 in this half of the hashtag your odds bet, Dave.
Yeah, my half is my friend Stuart Sink for a top 20, slightly reducing his task this week. But quite simply, in his last four starts, he's got three top 20s. That includes that brilliant win at the Heritage. He's also 12th at the Masters, 19th at the Honda. Lost his streak of top 20s at Wells Fargo thanks to a poor Saturday, but wasn't a million miles away from top 20, tied 37th. By the coast, so obviously he's an Open winner. It's also notable how well he's done in recent Opens. He was tied 20th at Royal Portrush. And then he's just got a lot of sort of top 20s, top 25s in Opens when you think maybe his Open career was just that one-off at Turnberry, but now he keeps playing well there. So He's big on the outright. So I think it's a bit much of a fairy tale to think he's going to go here and win again. He did miss the cut here in 2012, but he didn't play the majors well that year at all. He'd missed the cut in the US Open and the Opens. But I think this year he's obviously a different beast. I just think he's someone who can gather himself together and think, yes, this is a good major course for me. And I think top 20 is a more than reasonable ask.
25-1 for that hashtag your odds, by the way. Daniel Berger to finish in the top 10 and Stuart Sink a top 20, 25-1. And it's at the top of the hashtag your odds section. So do get involved with that. I'm going with Berger and Dave going with his old friend Stuart Sink in that particular combination. Let's talk about the other supporting markets. There's loads of them. You've got top nationality markets aplenty and you got top 10 and top 20. I'll kick things off here. I'm going to have a couple of points win on Abraham Ancer for a top 20 at 2-1. I couldn't see that much that stood out in the supporting markets personally, but Ancer just looks rock solid for a top 20 to me. He's finished inside the top 20 on his last three starts on tour now, logging a fifth at the Valspar, second in the Wells Fargo in his last two starts. His approach play was outstanding at Quail Hollow on a difficult course, and that should carry over to this week. He finished top 20 in the PGA Championship on his debut in 2019, tied 13th in his debut at the Masters last year as well. I reckon he's one to watch this week, Abraham Ancer. For a top 20, 2-1 looks strong to me. So a couple of points on that for me, Dave.
Yeah, very good. I'm going to have a go at Robert McIntyre on the top left-handed player market.
Yeah.
You could play him in other ones as well. He's up against four others. He's up against Brian Harman, Bubba Watson, Garrick Higo and Mickelson. I think Mickelson's kind of all over the shop at the minute. There's enough holes on this course where Mickelson, you know, might make doubles, but plenty of bogeys I expect from Mickelson. He might have a good day somewhere. So I think he'll beat him. Higo, I think cleaning up on the easy resort courses in the Spanish islands is somewhat of a false sense of security to expect him to go well here in his first major. You know, you're looking at McIntyre, who's already come top 10 in an Open and 12th at the Masters.
Yeah.
But McIntyre's the proven performer. Bubba's, you know, not the player he was. Brian Harman's the favourite in this market, and he's obviously got some decent form. But I still think McIntyre's got the beating of him. I think, you know, by the coast, just sort of highlights his chance a bit more. Should be in his comfort zone. So yeah, top lefty Robert McIntyre at 10-3.
Okay, 130 for McIntyre there, which seems a fair price. I do think Bubba Watson is going to play well this week, so we'll have to see how he stacks up. Watson's not been in terrible form recently, has he? 26th at the Masters, 13th Valspar, 18th Wells Fargo, and he's obviously played well at Whistling Straits in the past as well. So I wouldn't, yeah, necessarily. I think Watson and McIntyre are two in that market for me, and I like McIntyre as a pick there at 130. Anything else you want to mention just before we wrap up here then, Dave?
No, I think in terms of the betting, I think we've covered it all. There's loads of hashtag your odds that I kind of worked my way through.
Yeah.
I see our ones at the top. The one below it is Victor Hovland to win by 3 shots.
I mean, it's not the word. If you think he's going to win this week, Hovland, but you're not liking the price, you could see when he does break through in winning by a few, couldn't you, I suppose?
Yeah, 66-1 to win by 3 or more.
That's not the worst bet in the world. I must admit that is not the worst bet in the world.
Yeah. There's all sorts of combinations in there, which you could probably pair up a couple that we've put together. Can't see many Dustin Johnson ones, to be honest.
I don't think he's that popular this week, is he?
No.
Which surprises me.
Man. Yeah,
it's a little bit. Okay, let's wrap up with the selections this week, Dave. Start with your picks in the outright.
Yeah, so I'll go a point each way on each of these three. Tyrrell Hatton at 45-1, Tommy Fleetwood at 50-1, and Xander Schauffele at 22-1.
I'm going to go 2 points each way, Dustin Johnson at 18-1, point each way, Louis Oosthuizen at 60-1, and just half a point each way on Matt Wallace at 80-1. We'll have a point between us, yes, on that Daniel Berger top 10, yep. Stuart Sink top 20 at 25-1. That's our standout hashtag, your odds. And in the supporting market, Dave?
Yeah, just a point win on Robert McIntyre to be top left-hander at 100-30.
I'll have 2 points win Abraham Ancer top 20 at 2-1, and that will cover my Dustin Johnson state when he inevitably bombs out or withdraws with a knee problem at the start of the championship. Dave, thank you for your company once again.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. I think DJ's knee problem is less problematic than Koepka's knee problem.
Anyway. I think so, yeah. We didn't talk about Brooks Koepka, but his injury looks more serious to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us on Twitter. Any comments you've got about the podcast, we are more than happy to receive them, at D. Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com. There's loads of markets available ahead of the season's second major championship, the PGA Championship at Kiawah Island. You can have a look at all those at williamhill.com or on the app. And don't forget, here at William Hill, top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 9 places each way. Thank you for tuning into the Golf Podcast. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. Enjoy it, folks. 4 days at Kiawah Island for the PGA Championship.